biblical separation. We wanted to see this subject in seven important aspects of it. To make it very simple and for us to understand, we have seen seven aspects of biblical separation. Number one, biblical separation in precept, the doctrinal aspect of it. Number two, in principles, the devotional aspect of it. Number three, biblical separation in practices, the duty aspect of it. Number four, in priority, the determination aspect of it. Number five, biblical separation in prayer, the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ aspect of it. Number six, biblical separation in promise, the delight aspect of it. And number seven, biblical separation in power, the done aspect of it. As I was praying and meditating to make this very important doctrinal subject as simple as practical possible, this is what the Lord brought before my eyes as I was meditating and studying. And I am sure even more than that, the best teacher for us to teach is the Holy Spirit. Since He is the author of the scripture and He is the teacher of the scripture, we are just agents, you know, mediums. We may have our own flaws and weaknesses and failures, but Spirit of God will use the Word of God to honor the Son of God, to speak about the glory of God to the people of God, that they might know the will of God and they might live for the glory of God. It's wonderful. So, we don't look at a person standing before us, but we want to say, the Lord, teach me, and I want to learn thy word. As we were talking about this first aspect this morning, biblical separation in precept or the doctrinal aspect of it. Can I tell you, sometimes when I think about it, it is like the highways and byways. When you see the highways, they are well constructed. They are well thought of, thought after, engineered. Okay? They are engineered, they plan, and then they lay out these roads, highways and byways. And you have sharp turns, U-turns, ups and downs. Why they make these roads? So that the commuters may have safe travel. Okay? We are on our spiritual journey. Okay? And doctrines are like the preferred roads, highways, and the bridges. And everything as if God has engineered for us in doctrines that we might safely journey in our spiritual walk with the Lord. Not only that, but when you go on the roads, when you travel, you see one more thing over there. Not only roads and bridges are there, where to turn and where not to turn, all instructions are given. Yeah, there are many signboards. Do you see those signboards on the road? Yes. Why those signboards are there, you know? So that you may be able to use those roads properly. There is school, please drive slowly, there is bump ahead, go slowly. If you avoid those instructions given on the roadside, okay, what will happen? Accident. So, when we think of the roads and the bridges which are like engineered, like doctrines to us in our spiritual journey, the second thing what we want to see now is biblical separation in principles, and I would like to call them as signboards for our spiritual journey. God has put this everywhere for us. What to do, when to do, how to do, why to do. Well, I was in the Indian Air Force. And I was doing my training in Bangalore. Yeah? Can you also laugh with you? Share it with you. So, you know, look here. In Bangalore, you know, in our training center. That one signboard I will never forget. Because there used to be always accidents. So the authority thought about it for a while and then they wrote a big board on it. Big capital block letters. And you know what was written on that? Do not take a sharp turn. Do not take a sharp turn. It may be your It may be your I still remember that. So that caption, that writing on that roadside, something which has gripped many hearts, and everybody was careful thereafter. Once I was driving and I saw on one side the board was kept, you know, and a man's picture was drawn there, and there were 10 heads, 5 heads shown to that person, drawn on a picture. Okay? And on the side it was written, he had 10, you have, be careful. He had 10, you have 1, be careful. And some of the signboards are really interesting, you know. Hindi mein aisa likha hua tha ek jagah, nazar hati. Durghatna, dekho, kaisi ko pakka yaad hai. Nazar hati, durghatna gati. एक जगह था और एक अच्छा पढ़ने में आया था, इट इज गुड टू बी कॉल्ड, इट इज गुड टू बी कॉल्ड मिस्टर लेट सो एंड सो देन टू बी कॉल्ड लेट मिस्टर सो एंड सो. या सो सम ऑफ दिस साइन बोर्ड्स दे रियली स्पीक टू अस. मे आई टेल यू टू मेक यूज ऑफ दिस रोड्स प्रॉपरली, गॉड हैज गिवन दिस साइन बोर्ड्स टू अस for us to follow in principle. This is something you can see. Can you see something? There is no other way. Thank you for telling that. You want to see it? David, are you able to see the blackboard? Since OHP is not there, you know, I'm using blackboard. You know why? Because you should get the word, you should get the right word, you should get the right reference. Even if I have to write for 10 times, no problem. But you should get this solid notes with you. Fine? Okay, biblical separation in principles. For which, the other day I was reading 1 Peter chapter 1 and from verses 13 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 13 to 25. Still shining for you? Would you like to use my specs? This is my focus. Maybe from here you'll be able to see. Still shining, yeah, I know. Shall I pull it a little forward? Shall I pull it? This light? Okay, fine. Do that. Try putting up the light. Come to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We shall read from verse 13 onward. And as you read this time, we'll need light, you know. We'll need light here. It's okay. They will make adjustment for us to sit somewhere we can see. You all are all able to see, no? Are you all able to see? No? It's shining. I think. Take it. Take the board. Okay, that's good. That's fine. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 1. Before we read verse 13, look at the beginning of that epistle. Verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. You know why I read that verse? It is addressed to the believers who are scattered. Believers who are scattered in different regions. Those believers who are scattered, they should know that they are supposed to leave a life which God has called them to live for. The scattered believers are expected to live a separated life for God. So when you come from chapter 1 verse 13 to 25, as I was reading the other day, one word particularly comes very frequently. And that word is emphatically speaking to an individual who whosoever reads that epistle. It is you. In English, ye, e, or ye, you, your, you, your, you, your. Means as if God is trying to emphasize the requirement of a child of God in his life, that he may be governed with these principles in his life, to live a separated life, whosoever they are, wheresoever they are. That's why these believers who were scattered in different regions, but God was looking for them to live a separated life. Like if you come to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, there we read like this, 15. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye separated. Be not defiled. Be identified as the people of God. So this word you and your, in this verses, you will find frequently occurring. And as you meditate on that portion of the scripture, you will find at least 12 reasons which should be a reminder for a child of God to live a separated life. I just want to give quickly 12 reasons to you. First of all, verse 13. Come to verse 13. Can somebody read verse 13? For the sake of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of the grace that has reached you. You are saved by the grace of God. Yeah, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't frustrate the grace of God that is work in your life. The first reason given there in verse 13. Mind? Look at the same verse again. Not only for the sake of the grace of God, but for the sake of the appearance or revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 again. He is going to return. He is revealed to you. He is going to return. So in anticipation of his coming, what is expected of you? That you might live a holy and separated life. Can you read verse 14? Yeah, for the sake of your changed life. For the sake of your changed life. What is that changed life? Yeah. Before knowing the Lord, your old life, you lived in ignorance. You also lived in your lust. Now better be aware of that. God has graciously saved you. So you cannot live your life now with the old life in which you are living in sin, gratifying the lust of your flesh and also in the ignorance. Now your life is changed. That's the third reason that he gives in verse 14. Look at the same verse again. And the verse 15. Can you read that verse 15? Number 4. For the sake of your God, who is holy. At least don't forget who your God is. Who has called you, who has separated you. The highest motivation for a child of God to live a holy life is to know that his God, his Redeemer, his Lord is holy. There can be no higher motivation than this. My God is holy, and that's why I will live a holy life. You know, this people, who those who live around us, they're not bothered about sin. They're not bothered about the various things that they are entangled in. Yeah? They're not bothered about it. You know why? That's what their goddesses teach them. That's what their religion allows them to. If you think of any history of any so-called gods and goddesses, you'll find all of that is linked to lust. All of that is linked to something which is abominable, which cannot be really understood and practiced by an individual. All of that is linked to that. So their God is, so their life is, so their practices are. this won't be a right platform for me to tell you. If I start telling about those things which they practice, each of that has a very, I don't know which word to use, actual sinfulness behind everything that is there. Everything, every idol that you see. For example, there are certain temples, you know. The door of the temple is very small. Inside there is a god. He is called Shiva. Before that small entrance, there is a nandi or an ox sitting there. Do you know the story behind that? If you hear, you will close your ears. Horrible. Utter sinfulness. Everything. There are so many such practices. And that's why who their God is, they live the kind of life that is. When you live your life as separate, holy people of God, you show that your God is holy. The highest motivation, I repeat, for a child of God to live holy life is to know that my God is holy. It's not just singing when we gather together, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and live in unholiness, practice unholiness in secret life. God will not tolerate that. Peter says here, you may be scattered wheresoever you are. There are reasons for you to live a separated life. Yeah? The fourth one is your God is holy, so you should live holy. Look at verse 17. Verse 17.
And if we call on the Father, who is without the spirit of cross and sentence, according to the remarks for the time of your sojourning here.
For the sake of the way that you address God. How do you address God? You call him Father. Yeah? If God is your Father, at least manifest the qualities of your Father. Abba, Father. Yeah? Every time when you utter a prayer, that's what you say. God, our Father, we want to thank you. Yeah? That's how the Lord Jesus Christ also asked the disciples to pray in like manner. But what I'm trying to tell you, if you address God as Father, Peter says, behave like your Father. Okay, that's the privilege of calling God as a Father. Look at verse, the next verse again. Verse 17, the same word. Not only because you have the privilege to call God as Father, but the seventh one is the same word. For the sake of knowing that you are a pilgrim or a sojourner. You are a sojourner. 17b. You are a traveler. You are a pilgrim. You are here for time being. You are traveling. This is not your home. You are just passing. Okay? And because of that, you should not settle down with your attitudes and lifestyle here. There must be a kind of different lifestyle in you because you belong to God. Look at that same verse again. For the sake of identifying with God as your Father. What is the same verse 17? Can you read it again?
If you call on the Father, without partying, that is, according to this one word, conduct yourself throughout the time of your
judgment. For the sake of impartial judgment, for the sake of impartial judgment, there is going to be a day of judgment. All that you are, all that you do, all that you behave, all that you speak, all that is in your personality, inside, out, everything will be brought to pass before the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah? So things are going to be revealed. Nothing is going to be hidden. When God brings those things to light, what will it be for you? What you should do? Live a separated life. Look at these reasons, you know. And at each instance, it is mentioned you, 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 you. And I was touched by that. as if afresh the Lord was speaking to my heart. These are just seven things. Come to verse 18. Verse 18.
For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers.
For the sake of vanity of tradition, which are not able to save you. It's all vain, vanity, useless. That has not profited anybody. You continued in that. Now God by His grace has saved you. So, these which were not able to save you, what, you live a different life for the sake of the Lord. Verse 18. Look at the same, next verse.
But with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot.
For the sake of the preciousness of Christ. Verse 19. The preciousness of Christ is mentioned. You know what? In His blood, which was shed for your sins and my sins. For without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Yeah? It was the precious blood because He was sinless. And He shed that blood for us. This morning you were listening in the third class, you know, what was it? God did not come in the form of angel, but He took the form of man, incarnation, took upon flesh. He did not send angel. Angel could not do that. That's why He took upon Him the form of man. He became Son of Man. Why? Warren Wesley, the great man of God, once said like this, Son of God became Son of Man, that we sons of men might become sons of God. What a privilege it is. Know that preciousness of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. All that Apostle Paul says here in this verse 19. Look at the 10th reason. 10th reason in verse 22. 19 to 21, you have the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 22.
We have purified your souls. Obey the truth through the Spirit and to
unfeigned
love of brethren. See that
ye love
one another with a pure heart
brotherly. For the sake of brotherly love. For the sake of brotherly love, live a separated life. Look at the next verse 23. Can you read verse 23? Eleventh, for the sake of being born again. For the sake of being born again. Live a holy and separated life. The last one in verse 24.
For all flesh is the grass and all the glory of man and the flower of the grass. If God is the leader and its flower for
me. Did you get that? But the word of our God endureth forever. For the sake of the enduring word of gospel, for the sake of enduring work or word of gospel, for the sake of enduring word of gospel. Just look afresh into this passage, and as if God through this word telling to each one sitting here, you know, be holy, for I am holy. Look at those reasons that are mentioned there. How touching it is. You know, what does that mean? When I ignore the reasons that God wants me to be a separated person, I ignore this vital truth, the reasons that God is giving before us. This should be the value system of our life. What? That I am saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to come again. I am changed from the old life to new. He has given me the privilege because He is holy and He has made me holy. Because He is holy, I must live holy life. Because I have the privilege to call Him as my Father. Because I am only a passing person, a sojourner, a traveler here. Because there is going to be an impartial judgment. Because of the vanity of tradition in which I continue, which was not able to save me or save any. At any time it was never possible. But I have the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, having saved me, having made me His own. Because I am born again. Because I am a child of God. Because the word of God endureth forever. All things might go up, but I have the solid word of God in my hand. Can we neglect them? These road signs which are given before us. How many times when you and I leave and secret sins in our lives, dad may not know, mom may not know, assembly may not know. Before others, you might be a very fine person. Sin can linger from any corner in your life and my life. There is no age bar for that. It is all a sinful world that you and I are living in. And I said, in this sinful world, how did we begin our class? God, when He looks down, He wants to see and be delighted with the saints that are in this world. You and I should be the cause of the delight when we live a separated life. These should be the principles or reasons governing our life. Peter is emphasizing those things. This is only from one passage that we talk, but I want to share another principles with you. This could be the reason, and what is the principle? The first one, if you have written down this, I want to call it as principle of black and white. What do you mean by that, Uncle? Principle of black and white. Maybe you can write down the first principle. The road sign for us to drive safely in our spiritual journey and walk with the Lord. The principle of black and white. What do you mean by that? Principle of black and white. Maybe I'll give a verse for that. John 12:48. The words that I have spoken to you will be the same words that will judge you on the last day. After seeing what Peter has said, Apostle Peter has said, we want to see from the rest of the scriptures what are the principles that we can learn. You know what the Bible says about a child of God? When you live in this world, you and I are supposed to be the witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, winning others, impressing Christ on others. How can we do that? How is it possible? Well, we'll give a portion of Bible to them. How many Gospels are there? How many Gospels in the Bible? In your Bible verse? Matthew, Mark, Luke. Speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? His birth, His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, His ascension, and all that He said as last word to His disciples. When will it be that you give a Gospel to somebody or a portion of the Bible to somebody, and when they will read, and when they will understand, and when they will know the Lord Jesus Christ? That's why somebody said and said it rightly. These are the four Gospels you might pass on to others for reading, but you are the fifth Gospel people otherwise read. How is your life? Bible says you are the epistle of Christ. Do you know that people read each other? You are looking at me, I am looking at you. And we are evaluating always one another with words, with looks, with talks, with breath. Every time we are evaluating one another. Yes? If I look at Daisy, I know what kind of personality she is. What are her instincts? What are her likings and dislikings? Yes, correct? Because we get family to each other, and there are certain things impressed on our heart about an individual. Same way, please remember, when you mingle with anybody in this world, people are reading you, people are watching you. When they read, do they find that you and your lifestyle is marked with the Lord Jesus Christ? Not only your epistle of Christ, but I will say you are supposed to be bearing the image of Christ. Image of Christ. That may not be a right example for me to tell you now, because that's not we what we believe. But it happened so in the life of Mr. Bhakt Singh. When he had been to a place, knocked the door, and little girl opened the door, and when she saw a man standing with long hair and a beard, she ran inside and said, "Mommy, Mommy, Jesus Christ has come." The little child has seen that photo, and so far the child believes that. That's why I said this may not be the apt example for me to tell, but what I want to tell you, whatever the child knew, child could see and speak loudly. So if the people look at you, if they look at me, what will they really find in you and me? What I'm trying to tell you is, beloved, there are no gray areas in Christian life. What do you mean by gray areas, uncle? Gray areas means areas which cannot be defined from the scripture. You know, there are some people who say, even youngsters who say, Bible doesn't speak about it. What's wrong if I do that? Yeah? There are people who are trying to find out way of escape to live a sinful life, or the thing that they want to do, they want to have a way of escape. Bible doesn't speak about it. Where it is written? Sometimes children of your age talk to dad and mom. Papa, where it is written? There's nothing wrong in it. I got to go to my friends. I got to mingle with them. I have to do this. I have to do that. Poor father and mother. Sometimes they say, okay, mone, poikyo, sarela. Karna. Yeah? I was told about a young girl who was, and this is a true story. She was very adamant. She was a good born-again believer, good girl. And she was fighting with her parents, asking them to buy jeans and t-shirt for her. Parents were good believers. They requested her, Mole Advanda, it's not required. It's not good. Don't do that. I mean, can't you believe in me? Am I not a child of God? Am I not born again and baptized? Can't you trust me, Mommy? I'm not like others. Finally, parents, as usual, you know, they love you, so they yield to you. So they bought a pair of clothes for her, a jean and t-shirt. She wore that, went to college. There were a group of youngsters who were after her. And they blocked her on one side. I'm telling the true story, incident. And they said, "Will you come with us?" She stopped her vehicle, scooty, and she looked at them, stared at them and said, "Hey, I'm not that kind of girl. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I go to so-and-so assembly. I'm a Christian." The boys looked at her, they smiled. And you know what they said? "If you are what you say, at least, if you are what you say, at least, don't send wrong signals to us." She went back home. She never wore such clothes thereafter. Because she was a good child of God. What I'm trying to tell you, when people want to find out a way of escape, they may say anything. But what I want to tell you, there are no gray areas, no areas in our Christian life which are not clearly defined in the scripture. It is defined. There are principles which a child of God is expected to follow. When we don't do that, we may call it gray area, but in the word of God, it is only blunt disobedience, I will call it. Blunt disobedience. Bible only speaks of yeah, yeah, and nay, nay. Nothing more than that, because anything more than that comes from the evil one, Matthew 5:37. So be very sure, the word of God is for our good and for admonition to teach us that we may be following and living a life which will really honor God through our life. There are no gray areas. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 17. James 4:17. Don't forget, at the end of the class, we have a small test. So you got to listen carefully and pay attention. James 4:17. He who knows to do good and does not do, for him it is sin. And he who knows that he should not do and he does it, that also is sin. In one word, if I have to say, maturity in a person is to learn the truth and live it and stay in it consistently, confidently. Maturity is to learn the scriptures and to leave the scriptures, to stay in it. Because one day all things will be brought. The criteria of our judgment is through the word of God. And that's why the principle of black and white should make you and me to live a separated Christian life. Let me tell you the second one. The principle of our citizenship. The principle of our citizenship. Number two. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. Can you read somebody from this side, girl side? Philippians 3:20. Philippians 3:20. For the sake of your citizenship, which is in heaven, if your citizenship is in heaven, what are you on this earth? What are you on this earth? Sorry? If your citizenship is in heaven, what are you? Yes. Tourist, alien, pilgrim. Good. That's what the word I wanted. All of that is true. Then you are what in this word? A foreigner. You are a foreigner. Have you ever seen foreigners? When you stand at the bus stop or somewhere on the roadside, when you go to any marketplace, do you see foreigners in Mumbai? How do you know them? How do you identify them as foreigners? In your college? How do you identify a foreigner? How do you distinguish them? I am foreigner. Hey, come on, look at that. Foreigner. What are the things that you say? Yes, the color. Okay. What else? They talk differently. Good. Talk differently. What else? Their attire. They dress differently. What else? They talk, they dress. What else? Sorry? Their standard of living is different. Yes, Annie? Carry a big bag with them, okay. Baggage with them. Okay, what else? This all I have to put in different categories. Okay, camera with them. What else? They eat differently. They think differently. So that person will be in the bus stop or in train or in bus. Their thoughts are something else. They will be having a big book in hand. You know, it's a travel map. And they are studying. You may not know the roads and the byways and subways and highways in Mumbai. That person will tell you in detail where to go, how to go, when to go, when not to go, and what is where, and every minute detail. They are not here simply, okay? They are here for higher study. When they make their thesis, They may walk like this, like funny people, but after they make their thesis, they will come out with some good slides, good books, and good other things that they will provide for their countrymen, and they will earn a lot of money. They are not unnecessarily leaving their country and coming into this place and moving around in India. No. They are very calculative, very thoughtful. You just watch them. And by seeing all that, you can easily identify that they are foreigners. I hope the truth is clear to you. You are intelligent. I don't have to say. If you have citizenship in heaven, then you are foreigner in this world. Is your talk different? Modest? Or like your friends? Or like the world? What kind of language you use? Does it matter? What kind of dress you wear? Does it matter? Do you dress differently or like them, people of this world? Does your standard matter? Does what you eat and what you deny to eat, does it matter? What are the thoughts that are always ruling in your mind? Good or bad? Ugly, filthy? Or something which are good? Think of all that. In short, what I am trying to tell you, dear children, not only just to you, but as I am talking, I am thinking about myself. I am a foreigner here. I don't have to identify with the people that are around me. Did not the scripture say, and Apostle Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, to the people of this world. You know, either you will conform or you will compromise. And sadly, this has spoiled the testimony of good godly believers. They are not different. When they come to the gathering of the saints, with the believers, all fine. It begins with the praise the Lord here, or some places it is salam. In my place it is come 10 times salam. First meeting salam, then meeting is over salam. Then again, another class is over salam. So many salam. So I used to tell them, in mouth they have salam, but in heart many of them have, in Marathi if you know, sarkalam. Not ready to meet. Not ready. Not really having that love and attitude towards the individual to whom they say salam. Does it really matter to me? I think it should matter. And if only this has not impressed on your heart, maybe I can give you just one example from the scripture that has really touched my heart when I read this verse. John's Gospel chapter 8 and verse 44. What is it written there? John 8:44.
Here of your father the devil. The last of your father, he will do.
No. I'm sorry. Luke 8:44. Luke 8:44.
Came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately a flow of blood.
Now just think of that incident. She came, the woman suffering with the issue of blood for 12 years, came and touched the hem of his garment. That's what Bible says. In the vernacular language, the word for hem is used. In Marathi it is gonda. In English, in some places it is fringes. Okay? I was thinking, why did the Lord Jesus Christ wear a garment which has fringes at the end of it? She has touched those fringes. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ wear such clothes which have fringes? You know the answer of that? You can read in Numbers chapter 15. Can you read just 2 verses, Numbers 15? Numbers chapter 15. Thirty-seven. just read prior to that. Okay. Numbers chapter 15 and verse 37.
Tell them to make themselves on the corners of their garments throughout their generation, and to put a blue thread in the temple of the corner.
Notice that word. It says like this in KJV. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments. So when the Lord Jesus Christ had fringes on the borders of his garments, first of all, it was according to the law. It was in obedience to the commandment of God. His clothing was as given in the law, as God demanded. The Lord wore those clothes. Not only that, why did he wear? Why those fringes? Why that is required? Look at that verse itself. In the borders of their garments, okay, fringes, throughout their generation, and that they put on the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. Look at verse 39. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. This was not without purpose. The fringes were to remind an individual who wears that the commandments of God. Not only a reminder, but for him to perform those things. Not only that, look at the same verse. And that ye seek not after your own heart, not to walk according to what he or she likes. That's why the fringes were there. And your own eyes, after which you used to go boring. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, when he came into this world, he was wearing garments in the fringes to obey the law, to obey the words of God, to be a Jew, to be identified with commandments of God, to be reminded of that, to be doing that, and not going according to his own whims and fancies. Did you understand that? If you want to study that part itself, you can go to Matthew 23 and verse 5. You will find Pharisees and scribes, they were making these fringes large or big. That's why the Lord said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of Christ and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. They were making it big to show, make show, public show. But what I'm trying to tell you, dear children, if my Lord had to wear garments like this, if he was mindful of his dress when he was in this world, how much more should I? Am I really different in all these things in my lifestyle as I live in this world? Will you please read one verse, 1 Peter 2:11. 1 Peter 2:11. That's why 1 Peter chapter 3 says, in support of this, my apparel has to be modest, my appetite has to be modest, my appearance has to be modest, my adorning has to be modest. I repeat the word modest. I must be a different person when I live in this world, a separate person. The other things I'll just mention and go ahead. The principles that we talk, that God demands for us to live a separate life. Dear children, the next one if you read, number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. The principle of glorifying God. Next one. The principle of glorifying God. The principle of glorifying God. Number 3. 1 Corinthians 10:31. What do you mean by that? Whenever you do anything, I repeat anything, put it to the glory test. Does it glorify God? Ask yourself. Put it to the glory test. Ask the question, can I do this? Should I be doing this? Put it to the glory test. Because if you remember this, all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. If you ignore that, you are taking the name of God in vain. When you and I don't do anything which is for the glory of God, we take the name of God in vain. Exodus 20 and verse 7, what does it say? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in today. It says the consequence of that. Are you feeling to live a different life, a separated life for God? God's glorifying life? Else you take the name of God in vain. You dishonor the word of God. You mar the testimony of the assembly of God. You also bring shame to the names of the servants of God. I should not be a cause of dishonor to the name of God, dishonor to the word of God. I just want to give the words to you also. If you say name of God, put it Exodus 20, verse 7. Word of God, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 10. Verse 5 and verse 10. Assembly of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21 and 23. Ask the question to yourself, does it glorify God? Put it to the glory test. The principle of glorifying God. I can go on taking those, telling those things to you. Don't be exhausted. Because word of God demands from us that you and I, if have to go in our spiritual journey, not to ignore the signboards that are given to us as a child of God. First one, what did we see? The principle of black and white. Number two, principle of citizenship. Number three, the principle of glorifying God. Number four, the principle of proving things. The principle of proving, P-R-O-V-I-N-G, things. Principle of proving things. Give me a Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 21. What do you mean by that? See, there are things which are already proven and given to us in the scripture. They that do good, the consequence of that. They that have done bad, the consequence of that. Scripture is all filled with that. And that's why we don't have to be, you know, worrying about how to find the answer to our problems. Scripture is full of examples of those who have done good and reap the good result of that. Those who have done bad, bore the consequence of that. That those may be warning for us and cautions for us. Number five, the principle of helping others. The principle of helping others. 1 Corinthians 10:23. The principle of helping others. The principle of helping others. 1 Corinthians 10:23. You can also write 1 Corinthians 8:4-13. 1 Corinthians 8:4-13. In short, what I want to say here in this word is, don't be a stumbling block for others by your behavior, by your actions. Do you know whatever you and I do in the congregation of saints with the fellow believers, either you build them up or you break them down by your words and by your actions. Either you help them to grow or you hinder them to grow. When people look at us, what are we? Yeah, the principle of helping others to grow. Don't you hear many people saying like that? What is the use here? That assembly, that fellow, oh, he's like that one. Probably somebody is saying about us also like that, you know. Have you ever thought, are you a source of help to somebody or a hindrance to somebody? Next one. the principle of loving not the world. The principle of loving not the world. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Titus 2:11 to 13. Principle of loving not the world. 1 John 2:15 to 17, Titus 2:11 to 13. How is it that the Lord Jesus Christ, about whom we read, He loved the world? And how is that you and I are not to love the world? If He loved the world, we should also love the world and the things of the world. No, it is very different. If you love the world, you will find your spiritual life is gone out of balance. And once that imbalance comes in your life, you will find all things are hindered in your life. Be very careful that we do not love the world. I'm just touching this and going. The next one, the principle of your body being the temple of Holy Spirit. The principle of your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Do you say you are born again? Yes. What is the sign of it? Romans 8:9 says, He who hath not the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Guess what? You have the Spirit of God inside you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Apostle Paul says, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? You know that song?
Know ye not, ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Is the Spirit of God in you? Then how can you allow the Spirit of world to rule in your heart and to do things which are displeasing to the Lord? The last one. The principle of holiness, which we were reading from 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 and 16. The principle of holiness. I just want to close with one question to you. Can I talk about that verse back again? 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. If the Lord Jesus Christ visits you now, in your room, what will it be that you will be trying to cover up or throw it out? Maybe some books, maybe some CDs, maybe some DVDs, maybe something that is on the cell phones, the things that you like to listen to, the things that you like to watch, read or keep. Others may not know about it. If the Lord visits your room, what is that you will try to rectify and throw away? Think of it. That's one thing. If He visits your house, if He looks down deep in your heart, will He be pleased to come in? Will He be pleased to stay? What are the thoughts that you are dwelling upon? Is your heart clean before Him? Is your room clean for Him? If He visits you, what will be your difference? The principle of holiness, or the principle of separateness. I just shared 8 simple principles. If we keep these signboards in our life, our journey, spiritual journey, will be safe. Yeah? And the Lord will help us to live for His glory in the days to come. It's my utmost prayer when I talk of all these things, that at least this group of people, this company of God's people who name the name of God, they will not take in vain. Will you make a challenge to yourself and a commitment within you to God? God, I thank you because you engineered the way for me, but you also gave the signboards. Let your doctrine be sure and sound in my life, that I may be governed with the principles in my life. Forgive me because I have ignored. I have done what I should not do. I have gone where I should not go. I have spoken what I should not speak. I have seen what I should not see. I have eaten what I should not eat. If that is anything that is prepared.